Did Europe's supposed solution to its debt crisis create a whole new problem?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now, the global perspective on business and economics. Borrowing costs in Europe are back on the rise. Spain and Italy had been able to borrow at cheaper rates for a few days after European countries last week announced plans to be more watchful of individual budgets. But some economists say new, stringent measures to rein in spending could actually make matters worse. From London, here's Marketplace's Stephen Beard.
Europe calls it a fiscal union. It will compel governments to balance their books, largely by cutting their spending. But Paul McNamara of the fund management firm GAM says the axe will fall at the worst possible time for Europe.
This reduced government spending looks set to come at the same time as banks tighten up and they reduce private sector spending. And that kind of constitutes a double whammy to growth.
And this could be a disaster for the debt-laden countries of Europe.
The worst thing that you can do when you're excessively indebted is to not grow.
Sony Kapoor of a think tank called Redefine says if an economy fails to grow, governments collect less tax but have to spend more on unemployment benefits.
If you don't grow, your debt will keep on becoming worse and you have to run faster and faster to stand still.
But the Germans, who are the driving force behind the fiscal union, say Europe has got to deal with its debt, and not just Europe. Alexander Graf Lambsdorff, a German lawmaker, says a new age is dawning and Europe is leading the way.
I believe in Europe we are a little bit ahead of the United States in having realized that the age of eternal debt and over-indebtedness has come to an end.
Lambsdorff says that big democratic governments in the US, Japan and Europe have been gorging on debt for too long. They've been bribing their voters with goodies which they can no longer afford.
Our entitlement programs will have to be cut. Pension systems are under strain. Our healthcare is going to deteriorate if we do not turn this around and return to a system in which the money that you spend is money you've earned before.
But critics of Europe's planned fiscal union say if the continent relies only on austerity, there will be a new age, one of permanent recession. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki will give a big speech at the U.S. Chamber of Commerce today. He's going to be pitching Iraq as a good place to do business. But is he right? Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer takes a look.
Iraq is expected to spend $100 billion repairing its creaking infrastructure, hiring construction companies and engineers. Lionel Johnson is the Chamber of Commerce's Middle East expert.
They need homes. They need power generation. They need to have roads and bridges.
Johnson says Iraq has a growing middle class. He expects eventually they'll start wanting iPhones and Pepsi. The chamber has been holding workshops on Iraq around the country. Pharmacist Jim Seymour went to one in the Seattle area.
We're still in the thinking stage.
There is certainly a lot to think about in Iraq. Security, bureaucracy, paperwork. Still, Seymour knows his wrinkle creams would sell there.
Any woman that's in her middle ages would want these products. And if they had a choice, they would certainly go after them.
Other countries are already going after Iraqi consumers. France, which opposed the Iraq war, has more investments there than the U.S. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mixed right now. Europe's up about an average of 0.5%. German shares up the most at the moment, about 0.75%. Asian markets were down today, however. The price of gold is down to a 7-week low at about $1,663 an ounce. The people who make champagne are popping the top these days. Sales of bubbly is up 15% over the same time last year. But the European debt crisis could eventually flatten the fizz. Wall Street yesterday, markets gave back more than 1%. The Dow lost 162 points to close at 12,021.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. And by Thomson Reuters and their expedition to break the Oberlin speed record to the South Pole. You can follow them in real time at ExpeditionToTheSouthPole.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The state of Colorado today will decide whether to make energy companies list all the chemicals they use to do hydraulic fracturing for natural gas. But environmentalists want them to disclose much more. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
In public meetings, oil and gas companies say hydraulic fracturing does not pose significant risk. But Dusty Horwitt at the Environmental Working Group just led a six-month investigation on what those companies tell their investors. He found a different story.
Here you have them disclosing a long list of risks to shareholders, very severe risks, leaks, spills, explosions, a limited insurance coverage, bodily injury, death.
The law requires companies to list the most significant risks to their bottom line in annual financial reports. Horwitt says if shareholders are being warned, then landowners signing over their rights should be warned too. Michael Giberson is with the Center for Energy Commerce at Texas Tech. He says this isn't a case of investors getting special treatment.
I think that that's kind of a stretch to try to make something out of this. You know, the information about the risk is sort of widely available and known.
And he says the risks explained in financial reports are broad. Anyone approached by a drilling company should study the specific risks for themselves. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally, a 26-year-old man in an Austrian casino was playing the slot machines when, after pulling the lever for the umpteenth time, thought he hit the jackpot. A bunch of matching fruit lined up on the screen, and then lights all around him started flashing, bells went off, and the machine told him he won $60 million. Alas, he hadn't won, though. Turns out only four of the five fruit had lined up. Apparently, the machine went into crazy win mode because of what's being described as a software glitch. The man is suing the casino because they won't honor the big cash prize. Instead, they offered him about $100 and a free meal. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
It turns out calories and fat content don't really determine what and how we eat. What does, you ask?
When it comes to the food scene, very often in America, the child is in charge, and that again means soft and sweet and gooey.
Ew. I'm Kai Rizdal. Why we eat the way we do, Freakonomics has the answers. It's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.